Live from New York City, it's The Gary Noel Show. And now, your host, Gary Noel.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Noel, broadcasting from our studios in New York City, and I'd like to welcome you. Today, we're going to look at new research out of Japan that shows a very strong correlation between low amounts of the omega-3 fatty acids and a higher symptoms of depression. Then we're also going to look at how fish compares to lard and why some fat can help, but other fats hinder your diet, University of Naples. We're also going to give, I promised a person yesterday when I was riding in a car service, and it was interesting because I asked, they were talking about the election and they were all voting for Hillary. There are five people in a car. It's a shared car service and only costs $3. So it's very easy to get around New York on $3 from 115th Street clear down to the lower end of Manhattan. But you hear a lot of different conversations. And I generally don't say anything. I'm working on my notes for my show. But they were talking about the election. And they were talking about, one woman said, oh, you know, we saw you entering the car. You're that nutritionist. Yeah. What can we do for my husband's prostate? And I said, well, this is not the right place. If you listen to them, I'll talk about prostate. So I'm going to talk about prostate. But then I also heard them talking about why they were all voting for Hillary Clinton. So I thought I would respond. I said, well, I'm not going to debate the issue today, but I'd like to share some difference of opinion on Hillary Clinton on tomorrow's show, which is today. So I'm going to give a protocol for prostate to help. I'm also going to give a protocol for helping with macular degeneration. I'm also going to talk about how you can better fight diabetes with a simple glass of juice. I'll tell you what that juice is. And how you can change bad to good bacteria in your gut if you have been not sleeping well. Because if you're getting lost sleep, wake up in the middle of the night, or maybe you work a night shift, your gut bacteria will change, and that's not good. So there's a good article in the scientific literature from Uppsala University in Sweden on this. I'll share that. And how inositol can help heal cancer. So a whole lot on health and nutrition. But I'm also going to be sharing some insights today on Clinton, especially when I ask people about, well, do you feel we'd be safer with Clinton? And they say, of course. Well, I disagree. I'll share my disagreement. I don't know if I'll have time, but I wanted to talk about the real reasons that Gaddafi was killed. The mainstream media has never touched this and never will. We will today. So you see, we have a lot to share with you. Let's begin. First up, when I had a recent health support group on depression and anxiety, to get into the group, you had to have clinically diagnosed depression or anxiety for a number of years and be under treatment. Almost all the people were taking meds for it. I never tell someone to take or not take a medication. I've never taken anyone off medication. That's for their doctor to do. My work is on behavioral and lifestyle modification. But often what happens is that a person is feeling so much better that they go to their doctor and say, I'm feeling so much better. Can you lower the medication? And they frankly not only lower it, but in time they eliminate it completely. And that was the case. 98% of the people who were depressed or anxious in this 3.5-month study, at the end of the study, had no depression or anxiety whatsoever. And that's a good thing. Now, there's a lot that went into the protocol on behavior modification and nutrition and supplementation, but one supplement sticks out. If there's one supplement, if you're anxious or depressed, it's the omega-3 fatty acids. And this was just recently reconfirmed. There are several studies on this, but this was reconfirmed in a study out of Japan. And what they did, they had blood levels of the omega-3 fatty acids taken, and then they, over 2,123 subjects, almost evenly between men and women, they were age 40 or over, and they found that the highest level of depression with the worst symptoms of depression were in those with the lowest level of the omega-3 fatty acids. So then the idea was, what's the science behind this? And they found that you give people more omega-3 fatty acids, you give them a 43% lower risk of depression. Now, that's once a day. I believe in giving the omega-3, if you're depressed, twice a day, once in the morning, 1 to 2,000 units, once in the evening. And I bet those numbers of 43% would have come up substantially. And we're not talking about a lot. They're only talking about 900 milligrams with 200 milligrams of DHA. I'm believing in about 1,500 milligrams and about 400 milligrams of DHA a day. So take your omega-3 fatty acids and help prevent or overcome depression. We have millions of Americans suffering from it. Now, talking about the omega-3 fatty acids, the University of Naples in Italy did a study published in Frontiers in Cellular Neuroscience. And what they found was most people are going to eat one of two types of fat. If you're very health conscious, which is common in the Mediterranean area, you're going to eat the healthier fats, the omega-3 fatty acids from fish and from walnuts and avocados, etc. But if you live on the eastern side of the Mediterranean, that which is near Eastern Europe, you're looking at Eastern Europe, Czechoslovakia, Latvia, Lithuania, Bulgaria, Romania. These are countries that do not have a long lifespan. They have a highly processed diet, very rich in meats, and frequently overcooked. Whereas on the western side of the Mediterranean, you have abundance of fruits and vegetables, locally raised fish, and you have lots of grapes, it's heavy in grapes, and walnuts. And those are good fats. You get two different types of fats. Here's what they say, quote, "A diet high in saturated fat can make your brain struggle to control what you eat." What's that mean? It means if people are looking to lose weight, don't consume saturated fats. Consuming these types of saturated fatty acids affects a part of the brain called the hypothalamus, and the hypothalamus regulates hunger. So let's say you eat the American diet or the Eastern European diet. You're going to be eating lots of beef, pork, chicken. That's saturated fat. That's what they render lard from. And that causes inflammation in the brain and inflammation of the hypothalamus, and that impedes the brain's control of the food intake. In other words, people struggle to control how much they eat when they're eating saturated fats. But if you give up the saturated fats and you go to the healthy plant-based fats like olive oil, coconut oil, you don't have the inflammation. These, in fact, are anti-inflammatory, and therefore your brain is better able to determine what you should eat and how much you should eat. So just some new good science on how bad it is. For the woman that asked me yesterday in the car service, her husband has an enlarged prostate, what to do? Well, pro-inflammatory foods and beverages cause the prostate to become inflamed. That in turn can lead to a precancerous condition or an enlarged prostate condition. Now, prostates are very resilient. It can take decades before you manifest a prostate cancer. And even prostate cancer is a slow-growing cancer in most people. But you don't want prostate cancer, and you don't want an enlarged prostate, and you don't want a prostate that's inflamed because you've got to go to the bathroom 15 times a day. So instead, turn off the inflammation. Go to a healthy, organic plant-based diet. Lots of green juices, whatever your favorite greens are, just have a buffering or diluting juice. Cucumber, celery, and green apple are your three diluting juices. That means about 80% to 90% of your juice is them. Then you can throw in parsley, arugula, watercress, kale, anything else that you want that's going to be far more concentrated. But it's diluted and therefore easily absorbed. All that turns off the infections and inflammation in the prostate. But then you should take some supplements, the supplements that help turn off inflammation, and heal the prostate would be your standardized lignans, L-I-G-A-N-A-N-S, lignans, beta-sitosterol, S-I-T-O-S-T-E-R-O-L, boswellia, B-O-S-W-E-L-L-I-A, flower pollen extract, saw palmetto, saw, S-A-W, palmetto, P-A-L-M-E-T-T-O, lycopene, L-Y-C-O-P-E-N-E, pygium africanum, pygium is P-Y-G-E-U-M, africanum, as in Africa, phospholipids, phospho, P-H-O-S, P-H-O-L-I-P-I-D-S, it's phospho, and then lipids. Pumpkin seed oil, boron, and stinging nettle leaf extract, along with vitamin C. Those are the best things you can take to help a prostate that is in trouble. Now, for the best way of helping protect your eyes, the same identical diet that helps with the heart, the prostate, the breast is an anti-inflammatory, high level of chlorophyll diet, including with seaweed. But for the eyes, there's something specific because macular degeneration is the leading cause of irreversible blindness in Americans over 50. And what happens is that we're not eating enough of the carotenoids because carotenoids delay early stage macular degeneration from worsening. That helps prevent vision loss. So what we want is something that can really make a difference. Your red fruits and red vegetables, like a sweet red pepper, that's good for the eyes. Watermelon, good for the eyes. Raspberries and red plums, good for the eyes. Red grapes, good for the eyes. Also, one nutrient that stands above all others is saffron. Now, saffron is rarely, if ever, used by Americans because, A, it's very expensive. It's the most expensive of all the culinary herbs by a substantial measure, but also because we don't know how to use it. Why would you use it? Well, it imparts a certain flavor, and it certainly imparts a certain color. Saffron, S-A-F-F-R-O-N, that improves visual acuity as well as sensitivity to light, and especially if you're beginning the process of macular degeneration, it improves your vision, and that's extremely important. In fact, let's see how I can make this. Let's say you're looking at one of those charts, and the doctor says, the ophthalmologist says, okay, cover your left eye here. Now, read the numbers. Start at the top. What's the largest number? What's the smallest number? If you begin to take saffron after a month of this flower-derived spice, you can frequently have two additional lines on the eye chart that you can see. That's big. And we want alpha carotene. That should be in our diet. And just remember, stay away from the animal proteins. Use the vegetable proteins. But saffron is in a class by itself. It protects and prevents the steady breakdown of light-sensitive cells in the center of the retina, the macula. And that addresses the root cause of age-related macular degeneration and improves light sensitivity, which is a major manifestation of the disease. So you want to make sure that you're feeding that to your eye. And then alpha-carotene is also important. Alpha, A-L-P-H-A, carotene, C-A-R-O-T-N-E. That's a yellow pigment that offers a complement to saffron. But similar to saffron's key component, alpha-carotene is a carotenoid that protects the pigmented cells of the retina from light-induced oxidative damage. So people who consume the most alpha-carotene have a big reduction in developing macular degeneration. So we want to make sure we get our alpha-carotene. Lutein, L-U-T-E-I-N, and zeaxanthin, Z-E-A-X-A-N-T-H-I-N, also found in high concentrations in several components of the eye, including the lens, the retina, and the sensitive macula. That will help as well. And then against protecting against night blindness, you'd want to use C3G. Again, C3G. And that is a flavonoid compound found in berries. So blueberries, blackberries, pomegranates, cherries, raspberries, that helps you. So those are the nutrients that can make a difference and save us from a lot of problems. And finally, a plant insulin to help diabetes. This is from Biotechnologies of Taiwan. It's from bitter melon. Bitter melon is one of the most important drinks. It's very bitter, but it's very inexpensive, very common. Bitter melon has what are called peptides, and that could help manage blood sugar by binding to insulin receptors. And that's brand new research. So this was published in Food Chemistry, and they found that the 68 residue insulin receptor binding protein from bitter melon. So bitter melon can help reduce blood sugar, helps you if you're a diabetic in a very important way. So something new, something important. I always like to give you things that are ahead of the curve out there. And one last thing is breast milk sugar, with the natural occurring sugar in breast milk, protects the baby against deadly infections. This is from the Imperial College of London. And this is why, one of the reasons, but not the only one, that I actively support breastfeeding over formula feeding. And the new research was published in the journal Clinical and Translational Immunology. And it suggests a sugar found in women's breast milk protects babies against bacteria. And the bug is carried naturally in the vagina and bowels by up to 1 in 3 women and can be transferred to the baby during childbirth. So you want to have breast milk because that helps stop the what's called Group B streptococcus. So there was a time in America where we didn't practice proper hygiene. There were a lot of children that suffered and died because of it. Now we don't have to. And finally, from the Uppsala University in Sweden, the results of this clinical study shows that curtailing sleep alters the abundance of bacteria gut species that have previously been linked to compromised human metabolic health. And this was published in the journal Molecular Metabolism. So when you're not getting a good night's sleep, you're changing the gut microbiota. And those are associated with an increase in obesity and type 2 diabetes. So here's the deal. I've already discussed on previous programs how to get a good night's sleep. My suggestion is that in the evening, before you go to sleep, about an hour before, take some good quality, non-dairy probiotics. Oh, maybe 5 to 10 billion. That will help if you should be waking up in the middle of the night or working overnight. That'll keep your gut bacteria healthy overnight. I'm Gary Noll. That's the latest on health and healing. Back in a moment. Please stay with us. I'd like to welcome all of you from all over the world and all of the syndicated stations carrying this program. This is the program for the progressive community. I try to select information each day with our producer that meets the needs of people, whether you're living in Africa, Asia, Ireland, the United States, rich, poor, it doesn't matter. We want to see that you have information that is not covered by the mainstream media. That said, I want to offer a different opinion than the people in the car. One of the things they were stating was that we need a woman. And they kept going over and over. And there were all women in the car. And so I ask, well, fine, but explain to me what you expect in that woman. Is she a woman for all women, not just here in the United States, rich and poor women, women of color, women around the world? Does she represent a fight for women's freedom, of women's rights, of emancipation of women who are living in slavery in other countries? And that's where the conversation stopped. And then I ask, would you please give me examples of how Hillary Clinton has fought for women's rights in Iraq? And then I mentioned 500,000 children died. Well, all those children, what about their mothers? What about their sisters who died? That was under Hillary Clinton, directly personally responsible, Hillary Clinton, for 500,000 children's deaths. So this is a short clip about having a woman as president. Fine, providing she's a woman that represents all women around the world equally and is not afraid to challenge those forces, those misogynist forces in other countries, and not balance how much money she makes for her foundation, herself, or corporate sponsors by keeping quiet when these women are suffering. So let's listen to what these women have to say.
We've reached a milestone.
A milestone.
It's a historic moment for our country, and I am so proud
that a woman
will be in charge of our nation's secret kill list.
Will preside over the warrantless mass surveillance of ordinary citizens.
A woman will direct our drone assassination program.
Finally, it will be a woman.
It's about time we had a female overseeing the huge expansion of regulatory burdens.
And the huge expansion of entitlement spending.
Of military spending.
Of executive power.
Of federal debt.
It will finally be a woman who helps destabilize the Middle East.
It's finally a woman's job to disregard the Constitution.
To keep throwing money at education policies that never yield results.
To tell blatant falsehoods about transparency.
While punishing whistleblowers.
At long last, our wealthy,
vindictive,
paranoid,
narcissistic,
power-hungry president
will have a vagina.
A vagina.
Will have a vagina.
This changes everything.
So we should consider that. Think of all the things Hillary Clinton has done. She has wanted to go after and punish Edward Snowden and Julian Assange. The two people have told us more truth than anyone in federal government ever. And yet we have people who are supposed to be there to protect the public from the excesses or the errors, the omissions and commissions of people working in the government. They haven't done it at all. Outside people have, and she wants to put those people on a prison watch list. She doesn't want them out there sharing information. I was even watching last night when one of her defenders was saying about it's Russia, you know, and it's not about Russia. Russia has never been shown, proven to be leaking these documents. In fact, one of the former whistleblowers said that the high probability was someone within the National Security Agency itself. That's one issue. Second issue, how did the first black president, how did that work out for all the other blacks in America? I know it worked out really well for people who wanted the Trans-Pacific Partnership, Wall Street. No one got indicted on Wall Street, you know, the heads of the banks. Worked out really well for people who are head of the major polluting industries and cooling coal, nuclear, gas, and hydrofracking. Worked out great for Monsanto because he passed the DARK Act. When he was running for election, he said he wanted us to have the freedom to know if our food was genetically engineered so we could make a choice. Then he turned around and did just the opposite. Everything worked out well for those in power under Obama. Didn't work out well for anyone else, including the very people who voted for him en masse because he's one of us. Well, he was one of you, except he wasn't. So now, how did the Bill Clinton do when he was taking a position in support of the unions to get their vote and then voted for NAFTA and CAFTA? How did that work out? How did NAFTA work out? And Hillary Clinton supports the Trans-Pacific Partnership and the TTIP as well and will not change any of our agreements, only expand them to take away the power of the union, power of the citizen, power of our own regulatory agencies. How'd that work out? And it was Hillary Clinton who caused Libya to invade it. And we were told because Gaddafi was killing his own citizen. Turned out that was a lie. We are a banana republic in our democracy compared to what the democracy was and the freedom of people to participate in a real participatory democracy in Libya. Everyone voted on everything in Libya. But here's the real reason why Hillary Clinton had Gaddafi killed. Please listen.
Well, more speculation has been raised on the reasons for NATO's intervention in Libya. And as RT's Laura Emmett reports, the organization may have been trying to prevent Gaddafi from burying the American buck.
According to some, it's about protecting civilians.
We must not tolerate this regime using military force against its own people.
Others say it's about oil.
The only reason they're interested in, with Libya is about the oil. You'd think we'd be in Iraq if the major export there was broccoli.
But some are convinced intervention in Libya is all about currency, specifically Gaddafi's plan to introduce the gold dinar, a single African currency made from gold, a true sharing of the wealth.
It's one of these things that you have to plan almost in secret. Because as soon as you say you're going to change over from the dollar to the something else, you're going to be targeted. There were two conferences on this, one in 96 and another one in the year 2000, called the World Mataba Conference, organized by Gaddafi. And everybody was interested, and I think most countries in Africa were keen.
Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold. The UK has double that, but 10 times the population.
If Gaddafi had an intent to try to reprice his oil or whatever else the country was selling in the global markets and accept something else as a currency or maybe launch a gold dinar currency, any move such as that would certainly not be welcomed by the power elite today who are responsible for controlling the world's central banks. So yes, that would certainly be something that would cause his immediate dismissal and the need for other reasons to be brought forth for removing him from power.
It's happened before. In 2000, Saddam Hussein announced Iraqi oil would be traded in euros, not dollars. Sanctions and an invasion followed, some say because the Americans were desperate to prevent OPEC from transferring oil trading in all its member countries to the euro.
The UK's gold is kept here in a secure vault somewhere in the depths of the Bank of England. As in most developed countries, there's not enough to go around. But that's not the case in places like Libya and many of the Gulf states. A gold dinar would have given oil-rich African and Middle Eastern countries the power to turn around to their energy-hungry customers and say, sorry, the price has gone up and we want gold. Some say the US and its NATO allies literally couldn't afford to let that happen. Laura Emmett, RT, London.
So keep in mind that entire program, which was opposed by the military, our Joint Chiefs of Staff, was driven through because of Hillary Clinton. Now, are those on the left who support her willing to take responsibility for the displacement of millions of Libyans from their homes, the slaughter of over 50,000 Libyans who committed no crime, and the destruction of their environment with depleted uranium, as they did in Yugoslavia, the Balkans, in Chechnya, as they did in Somalia? That's the Clintons. So how can you say you're for someone without also accepting that everything they've done, you also have to be for as well? Otherwise, it's just a contradiction in reason and logic. Now, one other thing, we have not seen Hillary Clinton support the Dakota Access Pipeline protesters. Now, there we have Native Americans for the first time in decades coming forth in mass, as well as normal citizens, and the media has completely avoided this because, well, you guessed it, Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama support the pipeline company just as they supported the great tar sands debacle. So let's listen to someone who has a different take on the Dakota Access Pipeline.
Oil is life. That's why we've teamed up with Big Oil and Big Banks to bring you the Dakota Access Pipeline. Once completed, it will transfer tons of fracked crude oil to our refineries, where it will go on to fuel our commitments under the Paris Climate Summit to not about climate change. Safety is our priority. Accidents with toxic oil-carrying pipes like these only occur, well, like most of the time. So where better to put one than under the majestic Missouri River, where a leak will only poison the water source of millions of people downstream. This glorious pipe dream will also create thousands of local jobs for a few months. The only thing standing between the empire, the government, and total planetary habitat self-destruction is a rebel alliance of native tribes who've come together on the Standing Rock Sioux Reservation to peacefully protect the land and water for future generations.
Ew.
But don't worry, we're dealing with them in a culturally sensitive way. Enough wasting your taxes to invade countries on the other side of the world to get oil. This, folks, is the original American way. Invading Native American lands to get stuff we want. Sure, we signed treaties to protect Sioux ancestral lands and burial sites, but that's never stopped us before. Remember that time we discovered gold in the Black Hills? The Treaty of Fort Laramie sure as heck didn't stop us from getting at it. We even left a thoughtful gift carved into their sacred mountain to say thank you and remind them of us forever. That's the spirit we're keeping alive today with the Dakota Access Pipeline, bringing you double the value, both the past and the future. Authorized by the Department of Homeland Invasions.
We're going to take a brief break and come right back. Please stay with us. I have a special for you today, and this is the deepest discount special I've ever done on this product. It's called Survival Stuff. Now, what is Survival Stuff? Survival Stuff is, well, I always keep 6 months to a year in advance. This lasts for years and years. If you don't have to use it, great. But if there's ever a crisis, if there's ever a problem, if you should ever be where you need good nutrition, and for some reason the food isn't there, and look at Louisiana as an example of millions of people without food because their homes were destroyed, refrigeration destroyed, in parish after parish. One parish alone just about 3 weeks ago had 85,000 homes damaged or destroyed, and they had no insurance, so they're not going back to those. So where do you go? How do you live? In a Red Cross shelter? For how long? So I think that we have been very remiss in not planning for our what if, because I can show you places where they wish they had this. But let's say that it's not just for that, but you want to use it to get your nutrition. You're getting full nutrition. Here are the ingredients. Pea protein and brown rice protein, two of the most popular up-and-coming proteins of amino acids, rich in the branched-chain amino acids, alfalfa and pumpkin seed, flaxseed and barley grass, carrots and kale, cauliflower and cabbage, parsley and ginger, spinach, celery, broccoli, asparagus, collard greens, apples, bananas, cranberries, strawberries, chlorella, spirulina, blueberries, blackberries, raspberries, kamut, oats, sprouted quinoa, sprouted kamut, sprouted spelt, sprouted amaranth, oat beta-glucan, chia seed, alaria seaweed, dulse seaweed, laminaria seaweed, Ascophyllum, a seaweed, plus enzymes for digestion like protease, amylase, lipase, cellulase, papain, and bromelain. Probiotics, 8 billion non-dairy, like lactobacillus, acidophilus. And there's 5 different types of probiotics. And that's it. Just sweetened with a little stevia with a natural pineapple cherry flavor. And you're getting 17 grams of full protein, 15 grams of full fiber per serving. So you got a whole lot here going your way. So this gives you everything you can imagine, it's big. It's almost 4 pounds, 1,800 grams. It's a huge container. Now, normally, the price would be, plus I'm throwing in a set, a 3D set, 3 hours of what to do if disaster strikes. This together is $420. Today, listen to this price, $159.99. You're saving $260 savings today. It's good for 48 hours. That's it. It's one time only, and it's not coming back. Survival stuff, plus what to do when disaster strikes. And I suggest that you get several because you never know what you're going to need, you and another person. Now, the question is, what number do you call? And I'm going to give you the number right now so you can call it in. And by the way, for our archive number, because a lot of people are listening to this program on the archives, call 701-719-9976, 701-719-9976. Here's your order number for this phenomenal $260 discount for survival stuff, this 4-pound giant can. Call 877-627-5065, 877-627-5065, 877-627-5065. One time only offer is good for 48 hours, and hopefully you take advantage of it. We're going to complete our show today by hearing some of the proven, detailed comments about Hillary Clinton from an investigation that we verified is accurate. And we can't play it all today, but we'll play enough to give you an idea of what you're getting when you get Clinton.
After the inauguration in 1993, the Clintons fired the White House Travel Office employees, allowing their wealthy Hollywood friends to take over the lucrative travel business. This led to investigations by the FBI, DOJ, GAO, Oversight Committee, and the Whitewater Independent Council. The Clintons claimed the firings were due to financial misdeeds, but the employees were cleared on all counts. Hillary Clinton allegedly played a central role in the firings, yet in her sworn testimony, she claimed she was not involved. The Independent Council found this to be factually inaccurate and that she made factually false statements. The Clintons were forced to remove their friends and reinstate the previous employees. Vince Foster, the longtime friend and companion of Hillary Clinton, was significantly involved in several Clinton scandals. Due to the strange circumstances surrounding his death in 1993, an investigation ensued. Before the police arrived, Clinton staffers illegally removed boxes of documents on Whitewater and presumably Travelgate and other sensitive issues. President Clinton put his wife in charge of the most expensive program in the country. There was a national outrage that the unelected, unqualified First Lady was going to design America's healthcare system. In a 1993 interview, Hillary Clinton admitted, "I am not an expert on healthcare. I'm not somebody who has studied it." Hillary Clinton kept the Presidential Task Force on National Healthcare Reform shrouded in such secrecy that a federal judge threatened to hold the administration in contempt. 2 years later, the healthcare plan was a 1,342-page nightmare, including gatekeepers, health alliances, purchasing cooperatives, new and higher taxes, and restrictions on choosing doctors. Physicians, hospitals, large and small businesses, insurance companies, Democrats, Republicans, and the general public rejected the program, and it failed disastrously. The General Accounting Office put a price tag of $32 million on Hillary Clinton's healthcare fiasco. For dishonesty, Hillary Clinton and others were fined $450,000. Court costs to taxpayers were $725,000. In 1996, with Hillary Care fresh in their minds, Americans voted both the Senate and the House into Republican hands for the first time in over four decades.
In 1994, President Clinton's Attorney General Janet Reno initiated an investigation focusing on fraud accusations against the Clintons regarding their real estate venture, Whitewater Development Corporation, co-owned with their friends Jim and Susan McDougal. Hillary Clinton was the central figure, and the probe revealed pervasive conflicts of interest between the Rose Law Firm, where Hillary Clinton was partner, and its client, Madison Guarantee, owned by Clinton business partner Jim McDougal. Hillary Clinton claimed billing records, subpoenaed and critical to the investigation, were lost. It is presumed they were stolen from Vince Foster's office the night he died. 19 months later, following the Clintons' acquittal, many of the missing records reappeared in the Clintons' residence. As they were covered with Hillary Clinton's fingerprints, she fell under suspicion of obstruction of justice. Their business partner, Susan McDougal, refused to testify against the Clintons, assuring they were not charged. Susan McDougal went to prison for her silence, but was pardoned by President Clinton. 15 Clinton associates were convicted of 40 federal crimes related to Whitewater. The Independent Counsel's report highlighted the president's abundant and calculating lies under oath, obstruction of justice, and abuse of power. During this case, many other alleged abuses were uncovered. The 4.5-year expanded investigation cost taxpayers $145 million. Hillary Clinton's trades in cattle futures raised suspicions of improprieties as her very first trade of $5,000 quickly turned into over $490,000. She refused to release her tax returns for the years in question. Hillary Clinton insisted that she made all the investment decisions herself. The investigation proved her trades were actually placed by her friend James Blair through the brokerage firm Refco. James Blair was outside counsel for Tyson Foods, the largest employer in Arkansas, which is state regulated. The perception was Mrs. Clinton received preferential treatment and incredible financial returns as a way to garner favor with her husband, then governor of Arkansas. Refco was investigated and paid the largest fines in the history of the exchange. The Clinton administration improperly requested and received FBI background reports on 900 Republican officials. Hillary Clinton allegedly initiated the request to add data to her enemies list, leading to three separate investigations in 1996. In testimony, the White House Personnel Security Director refused to name Hillary Clinton as the source of the request, and he was forced to resign. Hillary Clinton claimed she was guiltless and was called a congenital liar in the New York Times. The fund was established so individuals or companies hoping to garner favor with the president could help pay the Clintons' endless legal bills. In 1996, the Justice Department investigated campaign fundraising abuses and cover-ups by the Clintons in connection with an effort by China to influence administration policies. In violation of U.S. law, agents for the Chinese government and military funneled millions into President Clinton's re-election campaign, the Clinton Legal Defense Fund, and the DNC. The DOJ's report stated, "A pattern of events suggests a level of knowledge within the White House, including the President's and First Lady's offices, concerning the injection of foreign funds into the re-election effort." The Clintons were accused of using the IRS to harass their enemies, including Republican politicians, the White House Travel Office, the NRA, Judicial Watch, the Heritage Foundation, and other conservative organizations. A senior IRS official admitted that Clinton opponents were singled out for tax audits. Also audited were Bill Clinton's female accusers, including Jennifer Flowers, Paula Jones, Juanita Broderick, and Elizabeth Ward Grayson. As he was leaving office in January 2001, President Clinton pardoned 450 people for crimes ranging from cocaine trafficking to kidnapping and terrorism. Several pardons personally benefited Hillary Clinton and were investigated for direct ties to her New York Senate bid. Mark Rich, a billionaire fugitive, owed the government over $160 million and was charged with tax evasion, wire fraud, racketeering, and trading with Iran. Rich's ex-wife, Denise Rich, a close friend of the Clintons, donated over $600,000 to the Clinton Presidential Library just prior to the pardon. Mrs. Rich also gave $14,000 to the Clinton Legal Defense Fund and $135,000 to Hillary Clinton's Senate campaign. The New Square Four were elders of a Republican-voting Hasidic community convicted of defrauding the government of millions of dollars. Candidate Clinton met with their grand rabbi. Hillary Clinton received their votes, and the New Square Four received their pardons. Hillary Clinton claimed, "I did not play any role whatsoever in the pardons." Hillary Clinton's brother, lawyer Hugh Rodham, charged high fees to use his family influence to obtain presidential pardons. Carlos Vignali, a Los Angeles drug lord, paid Rodham over $500,000, and his sentence for cocaine trafficking was commuted. Almon Braswell, a scam artist, paid Rodham over $250,000 and was pardoned for defrauding senior citizens of millions of dollars. Fighting for Puerto Rican independence, the FALN exploded 138 bombs in New York City, Chicago, and Puerto Rico. During a 10-year reign of terror, 13 innocent people were killed and over 80 were maimed. New York City Councilman Jose Rivera met with Hillary Clinton, proposing pardons for FALN members in return for Puerto Rican support in her Senate race. 2 days later, President Clinton pardoned 16 FALN terrorists. These pardons were condemned by Democrats and Republicans, the House and Senate, the FBI, the U.S. Attorney, the Federal Bureau of Prisons, and the Fraternal Order of Police. Another probe into Clinton wrongdoing ensued. When Congress requested additional information, President Clinton claimed executive privilege, preventing anyone involved with the pardons from testifying. Hillary Clinton claimed no involvement in or prior knowledge of the decision. Former Democratic President Jimmy Carter called these shameless pardons disgraceful. The largest political fundraiser in U.S. history became the largest election fraud in history. In the year 2000, the fundraiser for Hillary Clinton's New York Senate race was attended by 1,300 people, including the Hollywood elite and the Democratic leadership. In violation of federal election statutes, an individual, Peter Paul, financed the entire event. Peter Paul was also a convicted cocaine trafficker. In violation, Hillary Clinton was involved with the solicitation of funds and the coordination of the gala. In violation, Hillary Clinton requested in writing an additional $150,000 from Peter Paul in untraceable securities. The Clinton campaign's filings with the Federal Elections Committee stated the event only cost $500,000. The actual price tag was $1.5 million. Senator Clinton was fined over $50,000 for purposely underreporting the cost of the event. In another campaign finance fraud, Hillary Clinton ignored FBI warnings and accepted over $900,000 from scam artist and felon Norman Sue. Hillary Clinton's Senate tenure was undistinguished. In 7 years, she introduced only three minor bills which became law, including the naming of a post office. She helped secure millions in federal assistance for a New York developer. Ethics questions arose when the businessman donated over $120,000 to the Clinton Foundation. Senator Clinton did not support English as the official language of the United States government, and she enthusiastically voted for the Iraq War resolution. Hillary Clinton ignored Senate rules and reporting requirements for the hiring of staff and non-paid fellows. breaking the Senate Code of Official Conduct and hiding multiple conflicts of interest. She was investigated by the Senate Select Committee on Ethics. Hillary Clinton's long history of campaign finance abuses continued. Jeffrey Thompson and other fundraising bundlers for her failed 2008 presidential campaign pled guilty to conspiracy and campaign finance law violations. In the primaries, Democrats nominated the little-known junior Senator Obama over the well-known, scandal-ridden Hillary Clinton. In 2009, President Obama nominated Hillary Clinton as Secretary of State. In 2014, the State Department spokesperson was asked to identify one tangible achievement from Hillary Clinton's 4 years as Secretary of State. She responded, "I am certain those who were here at the time, who worked hard on that effort, could point out one." Secretary Clinton's tenure had no signature doctrine or diplomatic breakthrough. It was, however, 4 more years of scandals. The Clinton State Department wasted $80 million on a U.S. consulate in northern Afghanistan, which will never be completed. Under Clinton's name, the Foreign Service gathered details on foreign diplomats, our allies and officials of the UN, including internet usernames, email addresses, credit card numbers, fingerprints, frequent flyer account numbers, and work schedules. The Clinton State Department lost approximately $6 billion due to improper filing of contracts. The FBI, CIA, and the DOJ requested that Boko Haram be designated as a terrorist group so the agencies could pursue them. Secretary Clinton declined, and the group continued its reign of terror, including the kidnapping of 300 schoolgirls in Nigeria. A special investigator for the State Department claims probes into illegal acts by the Diplomatic Security Service and ambassadors were influenced, manipulated, or simply called off under Hillary Clinton. These include sexual assaults by State Department security officials in Beirut, endemic engagement of prostitutes by Hillary Clinton's security detail, drug use by State Department contractors in Baghdad, solicitation of child male prostitutes by U.S. ambassador to Belgium. Secretary Clinton's spokesperson claimed Hillary Clinton had no knowledge of any of the scandals in her State Department. "We learned of it from the media and don't know anything beyond what's been reported." The United States mission in Benghazi, Libya, was attacked on September 11, 2012. As Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State at the time, she is at the heart of the cover-up investigation. When she finally testified to Congress 4 months after the attack, she famously stated, "The fact is, we had 4 dead Americans. Was it because of a protest? Or was it because guys out for a walk one night who decided they'd go kill some Americans? What difference at this point does it make?" Hillary Clinton testified that she submitted all documents requested by Congress. 20 months later, and only through a Freedom of Information Act request, 41 new documents were released, including changes to Ambassador Susan Rice's talking points. More documents are still being withheld. The Presidential Records Act allows restricted access to documents for 12 years after leaving office. Now, 14 years later, the Clintons are still withholding thousands of records from the public. Over 300 Freedom of Information Act requests have been ignored, suggesting more damaging revelations about the Clintons. It is difficult to separate the Clintons' personal and political financial ventures from those of the Clinton Foundation. The New York Times expose on the Clinton Foundation details moral and fiscal chaos, shameless fundraising, and calls it mired in conflicts of interest. Run by old Clinton friends, it has been grossly mismanaged and, despite enormous donations, ran multi-million dollar deficits. Already rife with conflicts of interest, the foundation's offices are now shared by the Hillary Clinton presidential campaign. Americans can give $2,300 to presidential candidates, but there are no limits on donations to foundations. Hillary Clinton cannot legally accept campaign donations from foreigners, but no restrictions apply to foundations. Secretary of State Clinton traveled to Moscow and pressed the Russian government to purchase planes from Boeing. 2 months later, contract in hand, Boeing donated $900,000 to the Clinton Foundation. The foundation's support from foreign interests hoping to influence U.S. policy is of grave concern. Foreign donations to the foundation increased by 70% when Hillary Clinton ran for president in 2008. Saudi Arabia has financed terrorists, has an abysmal women's rights record, and punishes homosexuality by death. And yet, the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia is one of the largest supporters of the Clinton Foundation. In a Clinton co-presidency, every large donation could raise suspicions of improprieties or influence peddling and lead to non-stop investigations. Many qualified and deserving politicians, Democrat and Republican, women and men, are waiting to lead this country.
I might suggest you remember that in that Clinton health plan, there was a provision that if you were using any practice like holistic medicine, homeopathy, you could be fined $5,000 and get 5 years in jail. The holistic doctors were not aware of it. When I showed it to them, they were all outraged that she, Hillary Clinton, and her group of advisors, which were never made public, we only found out later, they were all from the pharmaceutical industry, the insurance industry, and the hospital industry, the same group that came forward with Obamacare. But she was working with them in secret. And they were creating our health plan, and they were going to destroy all alternative health. That is something that would have had enormous implications. Or put another way, you wouldn't be able to see a holistic doctor today if the Clinton health care plan under Hillary Clinton had passed back then. And there would be no holistic medicine, no homeopathy at all in the United States. And you wouldn't be able to get the herbs and vitamins either. So look deeper. And we will play more of the specific situations where people took a fall for the Clintons. They would take the bullet and then later get exonerated or pardoned. And we have a lot of cases of that, where the Clintons were actually found guilty of malfeasance, obstruction of justice, etc. So not an innocent person. I'm Gary Nall. I want to thank you all for listening. I look forward to sharing more tomorrow. Have a nice day, everyone.